Panthers head coach Matt Rhule joins us now on the Mac Attack on FNZ. Coach, we appreciate you being a stand-up dude and coming on here with us, man. How you doing this morning?
I'm great. I'm glad to be on with you guys.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. The first thing, because you're hearing all these various reports, I know you probably hear about them too, and it creates this, you know, confusion among the fans. There's been this talk that, hey, you know, your OC hire, you know, the Jay Glazer report, the OC hire is going to maybe determine if Matt Rhule stays. Like, have you been told that hey, your status hinges on the hire? Have you been, or have you been told flat out by David Tepper, hey, you're safe, chill out, don't listen to this, you're safe?
Yeah, you know, I've never been told that my status depends on who I hire. In fact, every conversation I've had with David Tepper has been, you know, I think I saw him twice Monday, twice Tuesday. You know, it's always been long-term vision, long-term vision, long-term vision. Like, you know, hey, you know, we know what we need to do. You know, we know we need to build the backbone of the team, you know, to control the line of scrimmage. We know we need to solidify ourselves at quarterback. You know we need to, you know, get the staff where we want it. So it's all been that. So, you know, I've been pretty consistent. You know, I'm smart enough to know I'm not going to speak for somebody. I'm not going to speak for the owner, but he's never talked any other way other than, hey, go out and hire a great staff, guys you believe in. But more importantly, let's turn our attention to free agency, both our own guys that we want to re-sign, and then let's get started on the next guys. Let's get ready for the Senior Bowl, the East-West game, and then let's attack the draft. And hopefully, guys, there's a combine this year, and we can attack all those things.
Yeah. Coach, you use the word process a lot in talking about building your program here, but it seems to hit a regression this year and gone backwards. Why do you think the process in your mind is still working the way you think it is?
Well, you know, and let me just say this. Like, you know, I think when I say that, okay, I just try to say, like, hey, you know, we have a goal we want to get to. We want to build a Super Bowl champion. I think when we took over in 2019, it was the end of a great run, and you know, it was a time for a turnover. It was time to rebuild the roster. So there had to just be a plan in place. And so when I say the word process, I just mean, like, hey, just methodically just trying to attack that plan. At first I was doing it with Marty. Now I'm doing it with Scott. And, man, this is a players' league. And so you have to revamp the roster. And there were some good pieces left over, you know, guys like Shaq Thompson, guys like Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore. But we lost a lot of great pieces, the Luke Kuechlys, the James Bradburys, the, you know, the Greg Olsons, the, you know, just go on and on and on and on. So, you know, year two, the record's the same. It's 5-12, man. It absolutely infuriates me and pisses me off and makes me mad. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying, like, hey, guys, everything's fine. But I do have to do a good job of taking a 50,000-foot view and saying, okay, you know, how do we have a roster like they had in 2015? Well, the way you do that is Derek Brown, you know, becomes a great player. Brian Burns becomes a Pro Bowler. J.C. Horn becomes one of the top corners in the National Football League. Jeremy Chin becomes a dominant player. D.J. Moore becomes a dominant player. Christian McCaffrey, we get him healthy, he becomes a dominant player. Timo, we re-sign Timo, but we build the O-line along. So it's not where you want it to be. But I think the steps we made defensively this year, and they weren't enough. Like, I can tell you, if you talk to Phil Snow, he's not satisfied at all with defense. But when we had our guys out there and we were pretty healthy up until, you know, kind of the end of the year, I think we were one of the better defenses in the National Football League. It's just that you can't do that on both sides of the ball in the modern era, today's draft. You know, when the salary cap went backwards, it wasn't like we had more money to go out and make big signings. So I feel like the roster's better now than it was after the exodus of 2019. I feel like guys like Tommy Tremble and Brady Christensen, Terrace Marshall, like, they got their feet wet this year, but they're going to be good players. So, yeah, when I say the process is working, I don't mean that we had a good year this year, and I don't mean that anyone shouldn't be angry about this year. But I just believe that this is a players' league. This is a talent acquisition league, and we lost a lot of great players at the end of 2017, 2018, 2019. I go back and watch that All or Nothing sometimes, you know, that they did. I think it was 2018, right?
And
I mean, it's Julius Peppers, it's Ryan Khalil, it's Luke Kuechly, it's Greg Olsen, it's Cam Newton. I mean, it's some of the best players to play this game. It's Pro Bowlers, the Hall of Famers. So the goal is to get back to that type of a roster, and that's by developing our own players, but also bringing in a bunch of young players, and then hopefully now being able to have some money to sign some guys in free agency to help put us over the top.
Coach, you talk about building that roster, right, and building it back and getting back to where we have this next generation of great players in Carolina. The way you've gone about building the roster, and it was you with Marty for 1 year, you and Scott Fitterer for this second year, it's been very heavy on the defensive side of the ball, and I love watching this defense play, and it shows, right, from 18th to 2nd in the rankings. But the offense has really struggled as a result of that. The offensive line, it feels like, hasn't been addressed, you know, near sufficiently. The quarterback situation is still in flux. Like, do you look at this and still believe we're doing it the right way, or do you kind of look back and wish you did it a little more balanced in terms of, you know, maybe addressing some of that offensive stuff and not going so heavy defense?
Yeah, you know, it's always hard. I'll be honest. Not because that's my ego or because I want to say it's hard for me always to say, hey, we made a mistake here, because that guy's still playing for us. And I'd hate to hear one of our players hear me say, like, yeah, I never should have signed this guy, right? So I hope when you guys hear me and when fans hear me and I don't throw a player under the bus, they understand that, like, one thing I know I didn't do this year is the guys played to the very end of the season. We never lost the roster. And one of the reasons why we never lost the team is because we never blamed the team. You know, it was always, hey, you know, we have to just get better. And all that being said, if I'm being completely honest with you guys, like, when we got here, we thought, because in free agency, you know, we went out, we got Robbie Anderson, we signed Russell Okung, who at the time was a Pro Bowl left tackle. We tried to address the offense, which had been in pretty good shape. Like, the year before, Marty had drafted Greg Little in the second round. So we had Taylor Moten at right tackle, who looked like was going to be a guy that we would re-sign, which we ended up doing. We had traded up to draft Greg Little before I got here. So there was a young left tackle who had been hurt, but, you know, it seemed like, hey, maybe he's the future. We added in a Pro Bowler in Russell Okung. We had Matt Paradis, who unfortunately got hurt this year. So the offensive line, kind of where we are right now, was not where we were, going into 2020. You had Ian Thomas, who people were high on. Chris Manhurst, who ended up getting paid a lot of money. So I think we tried to address the offense that year. You know, you had CMC. We tried to address it in free agency. You know, we signed Teddy. We signed Robbie. We brought in Russell. And we had some veterans there. If you looked over at what happened on defense, you know, I think there was 9 free agents that year on defense, coming off the defense from 2019. And I think they all left. Like, that might be 8 of the 9 left. And then obviously Luke retired. So It wasn't really a matter of, hey, what's our preference? You know, when we looked at the D-line board, there was K'Wan Short. At outside backer, there was Brian Burns and Marquise Haynes. I think there was F.A. Obata, and there was no one else. You know, Marty had already decided to let Mario go. Vernon Butler was leaving. Gerald McCoy was leaving. Don Terry Poe was leaving. I might be forgetting somebody. So it was like, how are we going to line up on defense? Not necessarily, hey, my preference is to rebuild the defensive line. So all that being said, last year in the draft, you know, you get to the draft, you're sitting there saying, hey, we're either going to take a corner because of our issues the year before, or an offensive lineman. You know, you had Penei Sewell, you had J.C. Horn. Penei went before us. J.C. was there. Guys, I'll be honest with you, I think J.C. Horn's going to be a fundamental piece of Carolina's success for a long time. I would take J.C. Horn again, and I hate that he got hurt, but I'd take him 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, but you passed on Slater, though. You passing on Rashawn Slater in hindsight, I think, frustrates a lot of fans.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a harder decision. You know, Rashawn hadn't played the year before. You know, he wasn't ideal tackle size. You know, there was a lot of questions as, hey, is he a guard? Same thing with Elijah Vera Tucker. And it was really, hey, are you going to take a guy who's a guard at this number? You know, I think Rashawn, I've had a chance to go back and watch Rashawn. You know, he's playing out in the Chargers with a really mobile quarterback. He's a really good player. I think if JC would have played this whole year, I mean, if you go back to that Saints game, I mean, he was dominant. Had he played the whole year, I think people would be really excited about JC. But, you know, we both know that the issues are the issues. When you lose games, then, you know, everyone's going to be frustrated. I'm frustrated. You're frustrated. Yeah. Fans are frustrated than they should be. And so, yeah, passing on Rashawn, You know, that's something that I know people bring up. I just hope you guys understand, for me, when I walk in that locker room, you know, J.C. Horn has to look at me and say, like, hey, that guy believes in me. And I think he was on his – we thought he was on his way to Defensive Rookie of the Year, the way he played.
He was playing great. Game.
So we'll see how he plays moving forward. He looks healthy, and I know he's got an edge about him that is special. So, but we know where we need to go next. And I just think, for me, guys, to be able to turn the roster over in a year – and again, when I say turn the roster, I'm talking as the coach. You know, we had a great conversation yesterday. I mean, Marty ran the draft 2 years ago. Scott did a great job running the draft last year. I'm not sitting in my office, you know, up in some tower running the entire football operation, making the draft, doing the free agent stuff. I'm a piece of this. I try to be a good piece of it. But there's tough decisions that are made that sometimes I have some influence in. Sometimes they're not what I want. But we're working as hard as we can together to make the fans happy and bring a winner here.
We're talking to Panthers head coach Matt Rhule here on the Technicom guest line. Coach, and talking about fan frustration, the fans have been loud and boisterous, whether it's on social media, at the Hornets games, chanting your name. They've made it known that how they feel about you right now. Do you hear that noise, and how do you respond to the fan backlash towards you right now?
You know, I didn't hear it at the game. You know, obviously my son's on the field with me. You know, after the game he told me about it. You know, my wife was at the game with our young daughters. You know, she told me about it. You know, my response to our kids is always, hey, if you want the good, you have to take the bad. You know, and you know, I know it was college and it was different, but there was a lot of backlash against me at Baylor. I was a guy from New York City that moved to Texas to replace a guy that, you know, had just almost taken them to the national championship games and was fired wrongly. And all I did was take his championship program and go 1-11 the first year. And so I was not real popular there. And so all I learned to do was like, okay, well, people are mad because we're losing. So what should I do? I shouldn't cry about it. I should just try to get us to the point where we're winning. You know, the Hornets game, I just kind of told Bryant, like, hey, buddy, I don't think we're going to be able to go to any Hornets games this year. And, you know, I just try to be the best father that I can be. And so what does that impact me? You know, no, I mean, I wish people were excited, but they'd be excited if we were winning. And no one's more angry that we're not winning yet than me. I just know that I've got to do the right things this offseason with Scott and with our coaches to get us there so that people are excited next year. You know, does it affect my family? Yeah, absolutely affects my family. And so I feel bad sometimes that my job puts my kids in a position where, you know, they feel not wanted. But, that's all part of it. I signed up for it. I chose it. And I'll say this. There's a lot of people in Charlotte. I mean, there's a lot of people in Charlotte who have gone way, way, way out of their way to be supportive of me, but more importantly of my wife and kids that treat us well. So, you know, I understand it. I just hope that I can do a good enough job as the coach to put a product out there, you know, that people feel excited about and don't want to be frustrated with.
Matt Rhule with us here talking about the situation with the Panthers right now. Coach, we got to talk about the quarterback situation while we have you here, and that's another one that frustrates us as Panther fans. I've looked at it like, you know, you've gone after guys that, you know, to a schmuck like me on the outside, it's appeared like for when you signed them, well, that guy's not going to be the franchise quarterback. And you have not gone after a young one in the draft, had a chance at a Fields or a Mac Jones this year. Like, what has been the thought process on, you know, Teddy and Sam? Because to the someone like me on the outside, it looks like you're throwing darts at the wall while you're blindfolded. Like, it just looks like long shots that they will be franchise guys.
Yeah, I think the thought with Teddy 2 years ago was, you know, he was coming off, you know, I mean, he was a first-round draft pick. He had taken his team to 13-3 in Minnesota and then had that terrible knee injury, had gone to New Orleans, had won five in a row. And so, you know, we weren't the only team. You know, we were bidding against some other teams to try to get, you know, he obviously knew Joe Brady's system. We thought, okay, he's a guy that can come in here. And I think part of the problem was part of the thought process was, hey, let's stabilize the position, get a good veteran in here. And then when the chance comes to, you know, to draft what we think might be a franchise quarterback, and the numbers on hitting on franchise quarterbacks are less than 50%. I think we all know. I think it's like in the 20%. But let's get a veteran quarterback, kind of like the Chiefs did with Alex Smith. And then if a Mahomes comes along, let's take Patrick Mahomes. You know, so When I say Mahomes, I mean a guy in the draft. So that was the thought process. You know, obviously Teddy, you know, we had some close games. You know, there was a lot of you know, frustration with Teddy. Obviously, I mean, you know, the people of the city love Cam Newton. Cam's awesome. He's a great player, is a great player, is a great teammate. Was one of my favorite parts of this year was being a part of him. You know, there was kind of, you know, Teddy struggled through the end of the year, got banged up. You know, we made a decision organizationally just to like, hey, you know what, let's try to go get a younger quarterback now and see what happens. So obviously made some runs at some guys, almost thought we had some guys that could have been franchise quarterbacks, to be quite honest with you. One thing I hope you guys know, I hope the fans know, is it's not throwing darts at the wall. We have taken as many shots as possible at finding the right person that can win a Super Bowl for us. So you made the trade for Sam. Felt like, you know, the way the scouts always look at it is a number two, a second round draft pick a year from now is really like a third round draft pick in their mind. That's been taught to me. I don't know if that's how I see it, but that was the thought process. Sam was young. We thought, can we mold him? So we brought Sam in. And, you know, as you referenced it, you know, we haven't passed on many quarterbacks in the draft. Most of the guys, the Justin Herberts, the Joe Burrows, the Tuas, Trevor Lawrences, they've all gone before us. Two quarterbacks we passed on in this year's draft were Justin Fields and Mac Jones. Mac had a really good year. Justin's had struggled, had a tough year. But I think Justin's going to be a really good quarterback. And, you know, Sam, we just kind of put Sam in that group with those young quarterbacks. So, you know, we made that decision, you know, and, you know, time will tell. You know, I think Sam looked really good for three games. I think Sam's last game, he played pretty well. You know, obviously we brought Cam in. I think Cam showed all of us the things that he can do. I mean, his impact on the team was strong. So, yeah, there's no doubt that moving forward, no matter who it is, whether it's the quarterback's on the roster, off the roster, that we need that position to play well. No one wins in the NFL without their quarterback playing well. But in terms of who we passed on, you know, I think Mac Jones went into a really good situation that fits him. Justin went into a tough situation. Both those quarterbacks will have time to, you know, play their careers out, and, you know, we'll see how they do. Yeah. Sam's at a pivotal point in his career, and, you know, we obviously will continue to look and see, hey, what's the best thing for the Panthers at that position.
Coach, did Brady Christensen show you enough to be a left tackle for you guys, or is the search still on to find that left tackle?
Yeah, I think Brady showed us enough, you know, to say that he can be a left tackle in the NFL. It's just one of those things that's like a hierarchy, right? Like if a guy that's going to be a first-team All-Pro left tackle shows up in the draft or in free agency, Brady gives us the flexibility. Man, I think he's a five-position guy. So, you know, if we plug a guy in, you know, depending on what, you know, the Panthers end up doing at six, if it's an O-lineman there that we think is like a, you know, day one, plug him and play him and let him start for 10-year type of a guy, then to me, Brady just instantly becomes a starter at left guard, right tackle, center. But he can play left tackle. I think when you compare his games at the end of the year to some of the other tackles in the league, he looks about the same. So other young tackles. So, you know, you talk about regrets. After the Giants game, we played him. He got a little overwhelmed at the end of the game. You know what? We probably should have just left him in there. You know, we didn't want to play him too early. Didn't want to crush some of those guys, the young O-lineman's confidence. But looking back now, we probably should have played him earlier and just let him really build some momentum throughout the rest of the year, as opposed to swinging him around to different positions. Settled in on him over there at the end of the year. He did a lot of good things. He has some things he knows he has to work on. But if you get to know him, like he's going to be your guy's type of guy. Like he's an old school tough guy. He's going to work at it. So, I said when I say the process, I feel good about the process. Like I know now that like, okay, I've got another guy that I know can start on the offensive line. Hey, let's go find another player, whether it's, you know, a guy like Deontay Brown, develop him or draft or sign one in free agency that can take us from where we are now to having one of the best offensive lines, you know, in the NFL.
All right, Coach, I want to make sure I ask you this one question because you took a ton of time. I won't take up your whole day here, but I feel like I have to ask about Cam. I know that a lot of fans are out there thinking, hey, I want to hear what he says about Cam. A couple of things. How do you feel about the Cam experience? Do you regret bringing him in? Because it didn't go the way I think a lot of us thought it was going to go. And is there a role for him moving forward? Or is this, you know, Cam said, hey, if I'm out of here, I got closure. Like, how do you feel about the way it just didn't work out and whether or not there's a future?
Well, look, I'll say this. Okay, so I met with Cam on, I guess it was Tuesday. And, you know, and we both agreed, like, hey, you know, take some time and let's get together with Scott, you know, Cam and his people, us, you know, and let's all come together and let's do this the right way and have, like, a face-to-face, like, hey, here's how we see it. Hey, Cam, here's how do you see it? That being said, you know, I think Cam walked into a really, really hard situation. You know, I mean, he walked into a team that at the time was 4-5. We went to 5-5 at Arizona. Obviously, you know, PJ started that game, but Cam did a lot of things in that game. And then we had that Washington game, and it was almost like a playoff game. You know, I mean, the atmosphere in the stadium was awesome. I think it was electric. It was like going back to the Saints game. And really, you know, did enough for offensively to win, and then just defensively just had one of those days where just couldn't make the stop. And then at the end of the game, we couldn't go down and win it. I think Cam was put in a really hard position to come in to learn an offense. And the offense, you know, the offense, it wasn't like he was coming in and taking over the 10th-ranked offense. He was taking over the 28th, 29th, 30th-ranked offense, the things that we've already talked about, and trying to start over from scratch and learn that. And I think he brought a lot to us. I think he showed what he could do. He moved the football. He ran the ball. He was, you know, powerful at the point of attack. Did a great job with RPOs. There were some really, really good moments. And but most importantly, I think his impact on the team. I think after having gone to New England and come back, I think, you know, his leadership, his holding the young guys accountable. Because, you know, when you have the second, third, or fourth youngest team, you know, coming out of the 53-man cut, you're counting on, like, Stephon Gilmore. You're counting on Cam Newton to say to the young guys, hey, no, guys, this is how you do it. And that's one of the things that we haven't had. You know, I mean, we've got some great guys like Shaq Thompson, Matt Paradis, Chris McCaffrey, but a guy like Cam is an entity unto himself. And so, you know, I don't want to speculate on the future because, you know, I've said to him, hey, we'll have that conversation. And he said to me, hey, coach, let's have that conversation, just us. But I believe that Cam Newton can still play football. And I believe that, you know, I would want Cam Newton on any team that I coached. If I was coaching anywhere right now, I would say, hey, let's bring that guy to this team because he is a winner and he is an alpha and he is a guy that does things the right way. So while the result in terms of on the field as a team were not what they want, the impact Cam, I think, had on the locker room, on the mindset, was really, really, really important. And I think moving forward, he has good football left in him. I just think there's a lot of things that have to be done, and they have to be done the right way between the Panthers and Cam to make a decision about where he is, you know, moving forward and what he wants to do.
Coach, one more question for you. Don't want to take up your entire day here, but you have an OC search going on right now. I don't expect you to name off the guys you're talking to or the names you may want, but what traits are you looking for in your next offensive coordinator?
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, I think the one thing, you know, that we all have to know is, like, because of the way searches have gone since COVID, you know, where now everything's pretty much virtual to start. You know, where you used to maybe interview three people in the first round and, you know, narrow it down, or four people and narrow it down. Like, I have an opportunity now to talk to some of the best minds in football and talk to 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. And so that's what we did last year in the GM search. And we learned a lot about, you know, about how other organizations are functioning. And that's kind of what we're doing now. So, you know, I've wanted somebody who is adaptable to the personnel that we have. You know, as the head coach, I don't want to be standing on the sideline next to a really good football player that's not touching the football or not playing a ton because, hey, you know, I'm kind of stuck in, hey, this is my system. And so I want an offensive coordinator who has similar beliefs as us. We have a good defense. We need to be able to run the football. We need to be able to win situational football third down and in the red zone. We need to be able to protect the ball and protect the people who carry the ball, like the quarterback. So if we can protect the quarterback, if we can protect the ball, if we can run, if we're good in situations, then I think that's great. I think the one thing that, you know, you go through this process, guys, like everybody in the NFL runs pretty much the same plays. You know, like, you know, you're interviewing these guys, they all kind of, well, here's my passing game, here's my run game, here's my protection. It's all sort of the same families or within two or three families of football. So I'm looking at somebody who sees the game in terms of, hey, who's my quarterback? I'm going to make him successful. Hey, who do I have? I have DJ. Okay, I have Robbie. I have CMC. I have Ian. I have Tommy. I want to utilize those guys and make sure that when people come to playoffs, they're defending all of those guys. So that's sort of the mindset. I love it to be someone that's got some experience doing it. Until you've been a head coach or until you've been an OC and you know, you've stood in the fire and made decisions and had people say, hey, why'd you do that? Until you've made the right decision and had to stand by it or made the wrong decision and had to admit it, it's really hard. And so for me, I'd love to have somebody that has that experience, but I'm also gonna talk to as many people as possible to get as many ideas as possible. So that's very generic vanilla, but at the same time, I'm trying to find somebody that that has experience, but also takes advantage of the personnel that we do have, not the things that we don't have.
All right, Coach, you spent a ton of time with us. We really appreciate all the questions. I'm sure aren't the most fun questions you've ever been asked, but I appreciate you
coming on
and answering them, not just for us, but most importantly for the fans. Thank you for doing it, Coach.
Coach, if you need an OC, Mac and I can help out too. We know football pretty well. A lot of Madden over here, Coach, if you need it.
Guys, I would love it. Absolutely love it.
We'll put on a neck roll, too, like old school. Yeah,
Coach, that's not going to help your standing with the fans if you hire these two idiots here you're talking to. All right, Coach, thanks for coming on. Good luck to you.
All right, guys. Thank you.